I pressed my lips to his once brilliant and now rayless eyes. I swept his hair from his brow and kissed that, too. He suddenly seemed to arouse himself. The conviction of the reality of all this seized him. "It is you, is it, Jane? You're come back to me, then?" "I am."
"And you do not lie dead in some ditch under some stream? And you're not a pining outcast among strangers?"
"No, sir. I am an independent woman now."
"Independent? What do you mean, Jane?"
"My uncle in Madeira is dead, and he left me £5,000.
"Ah, this is practical. This is real," he cried. "I should never dream that. Besides, there is that peculiar voice of hers, so animating and piquant as well as soft. It cheers my withered heart. It puts life into it. What, Janet? Are you an independent woman? A rich woman?"
"Quite rich, sir. If you won't let me live with you, I can build a house of my own close up to your door, and you may come and sit in my parlour when you want company of an evening."
"But as you are rich, Jane, you have now, no doubt, friends who will look after you, and not suffer you to devote yourself to a blind lamenter like me."
"I told you I am independent, sir, as well as rich. I am my own mistress."
"And you will stay with me?"
"Certainly, unless you object. I will be your neighbour, your nurse, your housekeeper. I find you lonely. I will be your companion, to read to you, to walk with you, to sit with you, to wait on you, to be eyes and hands to you. Cease to look so melancholy, my dear master. You shall not be left desolate so long as I live."